views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
When you feel like your life is crumbling around you, you could actually be on the verge of your next big thing. If you'd rather get into a car accident than go to work because you hate your job, you actually could be on the verge of finding your dream career. If you padded with picking up the tab for your yet again unemployed boyfriend, you're actually on the verge of finding a fantastic relationship. Certified hypnotherapist and master life coach, Laura Richer, wants to show you how to use your breakdown for a breakthrough in creating a life you love. You're listening to Laura's hit new show, On the Verge Radio.
And welcome to On the Verge Radio, broadcasting here on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Andy Lucas, and I'm here with your host, Laura Richer. She's a certified hypnotherapist, master life coach, and the owner of Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching. So, you know, Laura, author and professor Brené Brown describes setting boundaries in this way. She says, daring to set boundaries is about having the courage to love ourselves, even when we risk disappointing others. And I have to say, for many of us, setting and maintaining boundaries is a big, daunting challenge.
That's right, Andy. It is for a lot of people, especially around the holidays. But today we have a very special guest that's going to give us some expert advice on how we can set some really healthy, positive boundaries so we can have the best holiday experience. So today we are here thrilled to be joined by Sari Gelman. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and speaker and author that's located on Woodby Island. And we found Sari because of her awesome TED Talk, all about transforming your boundaries. Mm-hmm. So, Sari, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. And what a great show and great timing for this. Although, let's help the listeners know that if you haven't been setting boundaries with your family, you're not going to do it all at once on this one holiday.
Right before Thanksgiving.
Not all in one day. We're going to kind of ease into this piece by piece, step by step.
Yes. Well, let's just jump right in since we have a lot we can talk about there is a lot to setting boundaries. So, Sari, just tell us a little bit about your background and how you became interested in personal boundaries.
Well, I have been doing therapy for 32 years. And one of the things that I noticed as a therapist is that everybody who came in to work with me was really working on what was a yes for them and what was a no for them in their life. Like deep down, that is kind of the core of working through relationships, working through improving our own relationship to ourselves and to others. And so it was always coming up. And I noticed that I was creating this map in my head around how to help people work through boundary issues over and over and over again. And I realized I had this method inside my head that maybe I could now share with others in a different way if I don't meet you in therapy. So I realized that it was core and foundational to any kind of self-care, self-improvement in a person's life.
Is that how you started created the Transform Your Boundaries program?
It was kind of how that occurred. I was asked to speak in a theater on Whidbey Island just for a few minutes about the heart of my work, and I realized it was about boundaries. And there were about 200 people in the audience that day, and many of them were crying while I was sharing some of what I learned about boundaries. And I realized it was really powerful for them. And my phone didn't stop ringing for a year and a half afterwards. Wow. Everybody in that theater wanted to come share their stories, and I realized the best way to do this was to create a program for people to be able to do this. And I have learned over the years, that was in 2012. So I have learned that what the people in the theater really wanted is something everybody is really needing. Mm-hmm. And so I continue to teach and offer that to people in other places. And that brought me to writing the book and everything else because there was a need and they showed me that.
Yeah.
So how would you define healthy boundaries when you're working with a client to help them decide what their boundaries are? What kind of work do you do?
Well, healthy boundaries, that's a really interesting question, because sometimes people think that, you know, once you kind of work on your boundaries, you're going to get to a place called there, you know, where you've got this whole thing figured out. And what I've learned is our boundaries are always in process. We're always working on them. There isn't a day that goes by, for those of you who are listening, where people are not asking you questions about what's a yes and what's a no. You're saying yes and no all day long to things, and so your boundaries are always getting kind of pushed on. And so what I've learned is that we have to really pay attention. Pay attention to what people are asking you. That is where we begin. It's just notice how many times you're being asked a question.
Yeah.
And think about where your yes and no is.
So where do we go wrong? Is it that we are not witnessing healthy boundaries growing up? Like, how is this, why is this such a problem?
Well, let's open the newspaper.
Okay.
Why is this such a problem? I ask myself that every single day. What is going on here? It is a problem everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every story that you read about, everything that your friends are talking to you about, are coming down to struggles with boundaries. So it's not you. For your listeners, it's not just you. You are not the only one struggling with this.
Right.
Like, we have a problem as human beings with really understanding how do we get a healthy connection inside to our own yes and no, and then how do we have that healthy relationship respected on the outside. And so it is a challenge for us. So if you're struggling with boundaries and you're listening to us today and you're feeling like, I don't have any boundaries and it's really hard for me, you are not alone. It is hard for most of us. This is going to be hard work. If you take this on, you are going to be taking on something challenging, but you will get great results. So it's totally learnable. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. It doesn't matter how difficult this feels for you. You can take steps forward.
So what if we're starting from the very beginning and I don't even know what my boundaries are?
Right. That's most people.
Yes.
So if we're starting from the very, very beginning, it's about being able to listen inside to what is true for you. What is a real yes for you and what is a real no? And it all starts to connect to that truth for you. It all starts with your self-care. So if you're feeling like, I really want to strengthen my boundaries, the first thing you're going to do is not go out and kind of whop somebody upside the head with your boundary. That's actually not it. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to ask yourself, how's my self-care? And you're going to see, what can you do to start improving taking better care of you? Because first of all, your self-care often involves setting some boundaries so you can do some self-care. Right? And figuring out what feeds your soul, what makes you happy, what gives you peace. And as you start to improve your self-care, then it becomes easier to start setting boundaries with people around you in relationship, because you're starting to take care of you. And that is the job of your boundaries. Your boundaries only have one job. It is to take care of you. So if you start doing self-care and upping your self-care game and asking yourself one question, what could I do to improve my self-care? Start there.
Okay. And this might be a silly question.
No silly questions, I promise.
Okay, just silly answers. How do you define self-care? I mean, is this just from the basic of making sure you get enough sleep and you're eating right and taking time for yourself? Like, how do you define self-care?
So what you just explained was really good basic of where we start, is looking at your sleeping and how you're doing with taking care of yourself. But I also think of it as how you nurture yourself. So it can be spiritual self-care. It can be your creative self-care. What kinds of things do you like to do artistically and creatively? Are you getting enough time with your friends? And hanging out time. I mean, people are so busy these days. Are your friends only on Facebook? Or are you actually connecting in real life?
Yeah.
Right?
Do you even know your friends on Facebook?
Yes.
Do you know your friends? Let's start there. Who are your friends? So there is this relational piece. There's this physical piece. There's getting out in nature that can really nurture you. So it's looking at lots of different things that nurture you and increasing those and asking yourself, how much time do I spend really doing any of those?
Yeah.
And can you do more? I personally don't like people starting with the eating and exercise thing. I think those are critical, but quite honestly, nobody gets really excited to start there with self-care. So yeah. People are like not thrilled to hear, I've got to change what I'm eating.
Right.
That's not a happy start.
Yeah.
So I like self-care to be a happy start. So sometimes people like refer somebody to me and, you know, it'll come from their physician or their nurse practitioner and they'll be like, this person has diabetes and they need to lose weight and they need to stop eating all this junk food. And it's like, oh boy, are they going to love going to therapy?
Yeah.
Like, who wants to do that? But if you start with what you love, what you're missing, what you hunger for deeply, things that you enjoy doing, if it's reading a book, if it's taking a walk and being in the forest and sitting on a rock or hanging out with your friend, as you start to have more nurturance in your life and more joy, turning around and addressing things like what you are eating and how much you do need to exercise gets more interesting and exciting to you, and it feels more doable because you start feeling better.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's awful to begin at that place. I admire those who can do it, but that's not really the best starting for self-care.
I love that. I have clients all the time that I work with that say, you know, what could we do to help you manage your stress? Well, maybe I should exercise. Do you like exercising? No, I hate it. Well, I don't know if that's going to help.
Right. You hate doing this. Yes. Let's try to find something less stressful.
Yes.
Like, you know, adopting a dog.
Yeah.
Something that you would find fun.
Yes. Joyful.
Yes. Joyful.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful as practitioners, mm-hmm. right? To not give people things they don't really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That is great advice. Well, because this is such a big question that so many people are interested in, Sari has some, this was from your Facebook followers, some really great questions that your audience has. So the first one is, how do you deal with other boundaries when they don't correlate with yours? And this is a big question for the holidays. My mom wants me to do this, but...
But I don't want to do
that.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, I love that question because... No two people have the same boundaries. And if you can go into any relationship and understand that we all have a different sense of what's a yes and what's a no for us, and really being able to ask each other, how is that for you? You know, is the 5 o'clock start time for dinner? Will that work? Can we join in then? And we start understanding that different people have different boundaries. And so when you're in a relationship and somebody has a different set of boundaries than you have, I would expect that. And the best way to handle it is to talk about it rather than to assume, well, it has to be their way or it has to be my way. Sometimes we find that middle way. And sometimes it's possible to have a discussion and say, you know, we just don't see eye to eye on this. So I'm going to go ahead and do the thing that I need to do. And you go take care of you the way that you need to take care of you.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go ahead. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to kind of let go and let each other handle yourselves the way that you want to handle things. But rarely do people really sit down and talk about the boundaries and have that conversation and say, well, let's uncover this rather than just being angry that you know, this is not really what I wanted. Well, did you have a conversation?
Right.
Did you express yourself? Did you tell them what you wanted?
Yeah.
No, I just expected mind reading.
Yeah.
That's right. I expect mind reading, or I expected us all to have the same boundary.
Right.
Like, why would yours be different than mine? Why can't you know this? Well, we don't know this. And so it's a constant conversation. And the more intimate you are in a relationship, the more these kind of conversations have to happen. And you are going to make discoveries in your relationships. And sometimes you're going to discover that you're at an impasse with somebody. What's a no for you is a yes for them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you just have to decide at that moment, well, I'm kind of out of this little party for this event because that's not going to work for me.
Right.
Or I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to go into the gray area. You know, it's important when you're working with your boundaries to understand that these are not rigid things. Mm-hmm. And you want to be careful not to get too rigid.
Yes.
About your boundaries and realize sometimes we negotiate. Sometimes we find gray areas. And there is a lot of gray area where we say, that's okay. I can be in a gray area there. I can compromise here.
Yeah.
My boundaries are not rigid and stone-like. And yours aren't either.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you always want to compromise and never take care of yourself. It's the line for me is, if you're setting a boundary or giving up something or making a compromise, but you find yourself not taking care of yourself, like okay. you're putting yourself in danger uh-huh. or in harm's way, then you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think a good way to notice that is how strong, if you're feeling strong resentment inside of you, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't make sense necessarily, that might not be the right direction for you to go.
It's never the right direction if you're feeling resentment. If you're feeling resentment, you are on the wrong road.
Okay.
That is a bit, you know, it's just like you've taken a wrong turn and your phone starts yelling at you.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, go back, turn, make a U-turn here. Make a U-turn, please. If you're feeling resentment, that is such an important signal in our lives. First of all, it's a really important signal for your health mm-hmm. physically. Because your immune system is also listening to that resentment.
Oh.
And your immune cells are going to pick that up. And you're going to be very vulnerable to illness if you are staying in resentment. So resentment is an important signal. And it tells you to really sit down and start asking yourself, what's a no for you? What have you been saying yes to? You know, sometimes people wait for a relationship to become, you know, they look for signs of, you know, maybe abuse or harm, and they're not looking at signs like, you know, maybe financially it's harmful, and maybe their soul is becoming depressed in the relationship, and maybe this partner just never listens to them. It can be softer and subtler things that make you start to feel resentful. It doesn't always have to be gigantic.
Right.
It can be a lot of small things added up over time, or you've asked. You know, you've asked like 500 times, can you please stop doing that?
And no one's listening. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like they hear you.
Yeah,
you know that you were heard. Like they looked eye contact. We've gone
they
over
nodded.
This.
Yeah.
They nodded. Yeah. Yeah. You even thought you had agreement when they nodded. But then, you know, you still find the wet towels on the floor. Mm-hmm. And you're saying to yourself, like, after these are small things, but when they add up, it's the not being respected and heard and feeling like you made an agreement and then that agreement was broken. And that leads very much down the road of resentment. It's about broken agreements. Mm-hmm. And you are accountable to yourself around if you're staying in a relationship where there's a series of broken agreements. Like, gee, I don't remember us agreeing that it was okay for you to have a relationship with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember the conversation.
Right.
So, you know, that would be a broken agreement. Oh, I looked at the credit card bill. I don't remember us agreeing that we would max out that card. You know, you find you make discoveries and you're like surprised. But now you're accountable. It's not about getting that person to listen to your boundaries. It's about getting you to listen to your boundaries.
Yes, exactly.
And say, I'm accountable here. Mm-hmm. This doesn't work for me. And if I'm in a relationship where I'm getting continuous broken agreements, then that's on me.
Yes.
To say, what kind of relationship is this that I have put myself in? And I need to, you know, get myself out of it.
Yes. And I think sometimes those broken agreements just can be in our own minds because we've never actually communicated to the other person what we think that agreement is.
Right.
And so then we're disappointed without giving them the opportunity to rectify the situation. At least I see that with my clients quite a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, because it goes back to the mind reading. You're expecting them to know what you want without you ever really
having
saying
to say it. Yeah.
It's just assumed.
Yes, we have assumptions about what other people are supposed to do because we're in relationship, because you're a friend,
right?
Or because you're a partner, or because we're married,
right?
Or because you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of expectation, or because you're the mom, mm-hmm. because you're the boss. There's just a lot of expectation.
Yeah.
And we have to begin those relationships by just unpacking them and saying, you know, I'm sure this is really a surprise for you, but this isn't going well for me. This doesn't work for me.
Right.
And can we find a new way forward? Can we do something differently going forward together? And can we talk about what would work for you and what would work for me? And it's about coming to a new agreement. And you have to check these agreements all the time, because you may make an agreement and then discover 3 months later, this doesn't feel fair.
Yeah.
You know, and then your person in your life is saying, well, you agreed to this. Yeah. So we're sticking with this agreement.
Because it has really to be kind of fluid. And
yes.
Changing. And just what you said about our own boundaries are constantly being pushed on and adapting. And you have
to decide
where the gray area is. It has to be that way in a relationship.
That's exactly it. How much are you able to check in, come back to that and say, all right, let's see if that's still working. So particularly if you're in a marriage or a couple, you want to keep coming back to your agreements and saying, does this still feel fair for you?
Yeah.
And for me? Because we might want to change something because our boundaries are not rigid.
Okay.
So why do you think it is so hard for us to say no, especially to family? There's something about, I don't know if it's that I feel like because I love this person, I should just be giving and whatever they want. Why is it so hard for us to say no to family?
Well, I think that that's a really powerful question. We have a lot of experiences in our family, and there's a lot of rules in families, and our culture is in our family as well around what is okay to say yes and no to. So it's, you know, our first sandbox for learning in the world what is okay, what's acceptable here for a yes and no. So we learn when we're very, very small how these families work, what the invisible rules are. And then we grow up and we become adults, and sometimes we don't like the way those things work.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't feel like there's room to say no, because that was never really something discussed inside the family. And so it's the same process where we go in and say, you know, rather than continue to feel resentful, I just want to talk about this. I want to see if there's a gray area. And sometimes a family has a rule about something where you don't say no to it, because it's part of the family's culture. And that feels bigger than just the family. And so there might be elder members who are really held to the whole culture. And you find yourself rebelling against the culture because you just can't buy that. It doesn't work for you. It's not your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're staying true to what's true for you, it's not necessarily about changing your whole family's belief system.
Right.
They may have their own boundaries and yours may be different. But it's difficult to say no, but that is an important place to come back to in your life and to establish the line that you need to take care of yourself inside of your family.
Laura, there was another question on Facebook that I think is really...
Along these same lines, how do you set boundaries with a parent, and I want to add, or a child, if one or more are toxic?
Oh, that is so difficult because... Because what that means is they really don't listen usually when you say no. And so it's how do you say no when somebody is so toxic that the no doesn't matter? That's really what that
and that they won't accept it.
Is about. Yeah. Yeah. And they turn it against you. So you say no very kindly and gently, and somehow it gets made into something much worse, usually like a huge and difficult
You're
storm.
You're selfish and awful and hurting me.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you get blamed.
Yeah, you get blamed. Yes.
You get name called.
Yes.
You get shamed. I think Brené Brown would say that would be shaming.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So it becomes toxic because it's actually turned against you. Like there's something wrong with you for saying, I'm just not getting in the car when everybody's been drinking and then having you drive.
Yeah.
And then you're called the party pooper.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, Little Miss Straight Pants or whatever.
Right.
Like there's something wrong with you. And so it's still you're still beholden not to their reaction. You can't change that. Mm-hmm. Some people are gonna use shame and toxic behavior on us when we set a boundary, because that's how they get what they want. That's how they manipulate. Mm-hmm. That's how they get people to go along with them. They use the group shame. They say it's us against you. They use name calling. They talk behind your back. They use their toxic behavior as a way to exile you so that you can't set a boundary. Mm-hmm. And so you really, it's not about controlling them or changing them. It's about protecting you and putting yourself in a position to decide what's okay for you and what's not okay for you. So if you don't, if you want to say no to somebody in your family and you don't want that email shared to everybody in the family because this toxic person hits reply all and yeah. includes everybody in the family so they all see what you just said. And it wasn't even a note to them.
Yeah.
You know, that's toxic shaming, sure, yes. right? So you should know that about this family member way ahead of time. These toxic behaviors should be predictable to you and you should protect yourself. So if I don't want that email shared, guess what? I'm not going to send it an email.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give them the opportunity
right.
to do such a toxic thing. Now, if it wasn't predictable to me and I don't know all the ways they could be toxic, then that's painful and hurtful. And I would report back on that. And I would just say, wow, that was really hurtful and surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to change their behavior because, you know, you're not there to kind of fix somebody else's toxic behavior. That would be giving you way too much to do. But you are there to just be taking care of you. So think about mm-hmm. toxic behavior and the way people shame and blame and don't accept a no. And think about how predictable that is. And be sure when you set your boundary, you set it in a way that feels safe for you and that you've taken away some of the tools they can use against you. You've taken away some of that power against you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do it anyway and they still compose an email and say, this is what you said and it wasn't exactly what you said anyway, and it's all fake news, and then they distribute it, right? Don't we have this happening
yeah,
in our country?
Of, yeah.
Isn't this like, this sounds vaguely familiar yeah. to me. Does it sound familiar to you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we have like a whole nation arguing about how you say things and who you say them to and how you do things and what's toxic. So this conversation is really up for everybody. And so just be careful that you are taking care of you and that you are not stepping into things that you don't feel prepared for and that you're not willing to stand up for yourself in and that you are always willing to take care of you. My soul, my spirit knows that I will take care of me in any situation. At the end of this conversation today, I want every listener, I want your soul, your spirit to feel the same. I want you to know that you can count on you in any situation, no matter what comes rolling down the street at me and wherever it comes from, I can count on me to stand up for me and to set a limit and to take care of me in whatever way I need to. So I want you to have the same.
That is fantastic. I can't believe that we are already out of time. But Sari, mm-hmm. thank you so much for
thank
joining
you
us.
Thank you so much.
If you want to learn more about Sari Gilman, just visit transformyourboundaries.com. And there's your TED Talk is there. There's all kinds of stuff there. We're going to take a quick break. But stay tuned for more On the Verge Radio with Laura Richer right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Isn't it time to put your health first, to give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled michelle.com/book.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Welcome back. If you are just turning in, you are listening to On the Verge Radio, and we're teaching people overall how to use their breakdowns for breakthroughs. But today, your co-hosts, Laura Richer. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Andy. Hi, everybody.
And Andy Lucas. We're broadcasting on Transformation Talk Radio, and today we are talking about how to be a badass with your boundaries.
Yes.
Especially during the holidays and with family. We just had a really great conversation with Sari Gilman of the Transform Your Boundaries program. So it was really fantastic. Laura, remind everyone how they can get in touch with you at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching.
So you can find us all over social media at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy. We're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Google+. We're everywhere. There's also our website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. You can just give us a call at 206-765-8265. And if you would like to schedule a complimentary 30-minute consultation, just call us there.
And that's so people can find out if it's a good fit, if you can help them, if hypnotherapy, Reiki, life coaching can help them.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then the other thing that we have now is ontheverge.radio.com. If you missed any of our past episodes, you can check those out there. And we just completed a really great series on toxic relationships.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's fantastic.
Check it out.
And we always want to hear from listeners. If you have questions or comments for the show, just email us at questions@ontheverge.radio.com. That's questions@ontheverge.radio.com. So, Laura, tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
I can't believe it.
An estimated 47 million people are going to be traveling for the holiday, so no stress there.
No.
I found that the average time spent cooking the meal is about 7 hours, and eating it takes about 16 minutes.
That sounds about right.
So a lot of pressure and stress there. And about 30% of tables will have more than 12 people sitting around them. Yikes! Why are boundaries so important during the holidays for us?
Well, I think, you know, it's supposed to be a really special time to connect with friends and family and really enjoy ourselves. And because there's so many expectations, sometimes we kind of get thrown off track. And it can, if we don't have good boundaries, it can kind of be a miserable experience.
It'll turn the holiday dream into a holiday nightmare.
Exactly.
Yes. So what are... You kind of talked about that. What are some of the downsides of not having boundaries?
I think the biggest thing is that you're not getting to enjoy your holiday and you're doing a bunch of things that you don't want to be doing. So maybe you're just doing a lot of running around, drinking too much, eating too much, not getting enough sleep. And this, as we talked to talked about in the previous segment, can lead to a lot of resentment. And resentment is toxic. So we want to avoid that.
And what she was saying about how it affects our immune system is kind of fascinating and yet terrifying.
Yeah.
You've heard of Cheryl Richardson. She's the author of The Art of Extreme Self-Care, Transform Your Life 1 Month at a Time. She's also a coach. She's a speaker. She's famous for her life makeover programs. Her sentiments on boundaries are this. If you want to live an authentic, meaningful life, you need to master the art of disappointing and upsetting others, hurting feelings, and living with the reality that some people just won't like you. It may not be easy, but it's essential if you want your life to reflect your deepest desires, values, and needs.
So I think that that pretty much sums it up, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I absolutely agree. It is saying no can be very difficult for some people. And who was it? Anne Lamott, the best-selling author, said that no is actually a complete sentence.
Yes. But if to be true to yourself, to honor your own boundaries, you do have to say no. And sometimes that requires disappointing people.
Yeah. So I would like to share a little bit about how I became a boundaries badass.
Ooh, please.
Although
share.
I'm not fabulous in every area of my life. This
well,
was one
as
that,
Sari said, it's a lifelong process. We're always adjusting.
Good to hear. My parents divorced when I was 9. My sister was 12. It's all fine. But everybody loves the holidays. Every kid loves the holidays. But what became difficult for us was that then we had 2 Thanksgivings and 2 Christmases and 2 Easters. And the 2 Christmases sounds like a dream for any kid. Mm-hmm. But the problem was we had to eat, a healthy meal. And I don't mean like healthy as in good nutrition. I mean like a big portion at every house so that no one's feelings were hurt and that, if we didn't eat, then we felt guilty. So she and I spent the majority of the holidays feeling somewhat physically ill.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So then I went to college and I started dating Ben, and he also had divorced parents. So now we had 4 families to visit on the holidays. And 1 year we spent most of the time just driving from place to place. We were in Cleveland, and it was a blizzard, and we're driving down the turnpike, and there's cars pulled over, and I thought, what are we doing here? Like, cars were off the side of the road. We gave a woman a ride up to the rest area. I mean, it was nuts. So after college, I ended up moving away. I moved to Richmond, not because of that wasn't how I inflicted boundaries. So I still came back for the holidays, and then I found it was even more stressful because you're traveling during the holidays, which is really not fun. It's super expensive. It's frustrating. I always had weather issues. I spent so many nights just in Chicago because we couldn't get out. And so I really began dreading it. And then when you're home, so I've got all this frustration. I don't think I was like a super nice person to be around. And our family dynamics were always kind of heightened because we're all back and everybody's reverting to who the roles were and what we played 20 years ago.
And did you feel resentful that you were doing all of this traveling and making all of this effort to get there?
I did, but it seemed so absurd to have everyone in the family come visit me.
Sure.
Right? Like, I wouldn't even have enough places to stay. So 2012 was the first time in 16 years that I didn't go home at Christmas. And I have to say that was a really difficult decision. And it was very difficult to tell my mom and to tell my sister and everybody. But, they were very accepting. And I just had to realize this isn't good for me anymore. And partially it was my job, too. I was working. I always had to work on Christmas. And I realized I was in a bad mood when I went home. It wasn't fun for anybody. And so I didn't go. And I felt amazing.
Well, and I think you bring up a really important part of having boundaries is when you did finally communicate your boundary to your mom and your sister, people that really care about you and have your best interest in mind, they were more than happy to respect that. They're going to miss you at Christmas, but they don't want you to suffer to get there.
Exactly. And now I go home when it's not the holidays. So we just have this time set aside and there's not the pressure of the holidays. And it just feels like there's just so much more time and not so crazy. Mm. So I feel really good about doing that. Do I miss them? Absolutely. I wish that I could teleport. I've got somebody working on a strategy to teleport, but it's
well. Good. Let me know when they find out about that.
We're hoping for 2019.
Yeah.
So, that's what I did. How do other people? How do they stop trying to do it all?
So I think you want to really be clear on what your intentions are in anything in life. But if we're speaking about the holidays, you know, what is your intention? Is it to have a good time with your friends and family? Is it to spend some time maybe just with your partner? Or is it to go on a little vacation because this is some time you get off work? Think about what you want to accomplish during this time. And then when you're dealing with other people's intentions and expectations, just kind of be clear. As Sari said earlier, you know, just say, maybe that doesn't work for me. Maybe I don't want to go to four Thanksgivings this year, and I just want to do my own at home. And
I don't want to stuff somebody into the turkey because I'm so resentful.
Right. And that's okay, that it's okay to listen to that. And so just knowing what your yes and no are, I think, is really the most – it's so simple, really.
It is.
Difficult but simple. And if you're feeling resentful, you're going in the wrong direction.
Can I talk – can you share for us just a minute? There's this idea of favors, and I think family asks favors, friends ask favors. How do we say no to favors? And you want to help somebody, but
well,
help.
I think, you know, it's sometimes that this having boundaries can sound like it's selfish. Like I'm only going to do the things I want to do and forget everybody else. And that's not what it is at all. You know, I think a lot of times we do things for other people that maybe it's not something we really want to be doing necessarily. You know, if my parents ask me to help them paint their condo, painting is not really what I'm interested in doing over my weekend, but maybe I really do want to help them. Maybe my parents have done a million things for me and I want to help them with what they need. So I can give that without resentment. But, you know, one of my friends asks me to help them move and I just don't want to do that, I might have to say no to that. That may not be for me to give.
Because if you felt resentment in saying yes, that's how we know. It should have been a no.
Right. Exactly.
Do you know what I do when somebody asks me for help moving? Hmm. I give them the name of a mover.
Yeah.
So
good call.
Before we take another break here, a quick break, Laura, remind everybody how they can call you.
Yes, at 206-765-8265. They'll get Larry and he can schedule a complimentary consultation for them if they want to find out how Seattle Healing Hypnosis, Reiki, and Life Coaching can help them.
And Larry is...
The scheduler.
Okay, I like it. And don't forget, you can always listen to archives of this show and our past show on ontheverge.radio.com. So stay tuned for more learning how to be a boundaries badass here on The Verge Radio on Transformation Talk Radio.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name, you think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well, I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, because I didn't want anyone thinking.
Have you ever said to a friend, I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special. Or how about, I am working on getting a job I love. Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show, Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love. While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ElitetarOt.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Should know that my mama don't like you and she likes everyone, and I never like to admit that I was wrong, and I've been so caught up in my job.
All right, we are back for more On the Verge Radio with your host, Laura Richer. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Andy.
Laura is the owner of Seattle Healing, Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching. I'm your co-host, Andy Lucas. We're here on Transformation Talk Radio, teaching listeners how to be boundaries badasses.
Yes, we are.
To be the boss of their boundaries, especially during the holidays. So I shared my boundaries badassdom and how I got there. What about you?
So I think that my story is typical for a lot of people. When I was younger especially, didn't really want to communicate what my boundaries were because I didn't want other people to be upset with me or I didn't want to hurt their feelings. So I either just went along with what they wanted, or I did what I wanted and just didn't communicate what I was really thinking. So as you can imagine, that didn't always turn out very well.
What?
And, you know, that came from a place of being fearful of other people's negative emotions or feeling like it was my job to be a nice person or a good girl. And so that really did have a negative impact on a lot of my relationships because two things would happen. Either I was just building up a ton of resentment in my mind against this other person because they were doing something that I didn't like, but I wasn't telling them.
Sure.
Or that in itself would sabotage the relationship, is just creating that resentment like we talked about before. And then eventually I would kind of snap and say, well, this isn't working for me and I'm done with this whole thing. So I think for me, becoming a boundaries badass is that I just became on the verge of not wanting to live like that anymore and wanting to make that change of having healthy relationships and good connection with other people who actually get the chance to know you and what you're really thinking.
Oh, well, that what do you say? Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, and a lot of my clients that I work with have similar issues. You want to be a nice person. You don't want to be selfish. And that feels like you have to sacrifice what you really think or what you really want for someone else. And that absolutely is not true.
Why did selfish become such a terrible thing?
Well, selfish is kind of interesting because when you think of someone calling you selfish, it's because you're not doing what they want.
Uh-huh.
So who's selfish in that scenario?
Wow.
But you were supposed to be selfish. We're supposed to take care of ourselves. As Sari was saying earlier, you know, to have a healthy relationship with other people and with yourself, you have to know that no matter what happens, you can take care of you, that you're going to be true to yourself. So that doesn't mean stomping all over other people and violating their boundaries, but it doesn't mean you have to do things that don't feel right to you.
And you've said before to me, you know, just in conversations, that when you're doing something for someone and you're resenting it, that is absolutely not showing any kindness. It's almost the opposite.
I definitely think it's the opposite. How would you feel if you asked me to do something and I said, sure, Andy, absolutely. And then I turned around and told everybody about what a jerk you are for even asking. But yet you have no idea that I'm even upset.
I can tell you I wouldn't be here hosting the show with you.
Oh, gosh, I hope nobody says anything.
And so tell us how you can kind of help clients with their boundaries.
So with the modalities that I use in my practice, hypnotherapy and coaching, we really kind of take a look at, why are you afraid of speaking up? What is it that's attaching you to this fear of disappointing other people? And address maybe what some of those issues are. And it could be that you have some toxic relationships in your life. Maybe it's just you've gotten into the habit of doing this and you don't know how to communicate the way that you want to. Whatever it is for you. And once we kind of identify what some of those issues are, giving clients strategies that they can work with to create better, healthier behaviors so that they can have more positive relationships.
Yeah. Do you have, can you tell us about someone?
Yes.
Anyone?
Well, I have lots of examples, but one is related to holiday time. I have a client that I was working with, and she was going on vacation with her husband's family for the holidays, or going to visit her husband's family for the holidays. And they were going to go to Florida and be in this nice, you know, sunny weather. And in her mind, they were going to stop at the family's house for Thanksgiving, maybe spend a little time, and then they were going to be on vacation. But her in-laws had a different idea, that they would be there with them the entire time, stay with them. So when she found this out, that it was different than her expectation, she didn't really say anything because she didn't want to disappoint her husband or the family.
Sure.
However, she was building up a lot of resentment in her mind against her husband, against his family. She was resentful that this was her time off. This is the only time she gets off the whole year, and she didn't get to do what she wanted. All of these things. And so what we really worked on first is identifying what her resentment was about. Because in the beginning, she didn't even know, because she just thought, well, it's selfish not to do what family wants.
Right.
So we kind of, we sorted that out. And then we talked about, you know, what did she have to give in terms of spending time with family over the holidays, and what was important to her for herself, which was having some time to just connect with her husband on their own. And she was able to communicate that to her husband after we did a little bit of work on it. And then he had to communicate it, I think, to his mother, which, you know.
Ooh, he had to get his own boundaries
He had to get his own boundaries in check and figure that out. But it all worked out. There was some give and take. And they're going, as far as I know, they're probably there right now on a lovely holiday where everyone's going to get a little bit of what they were wanting to do. So if she hadn't have done that, you know, she could have just let that fester for 10, 20 years and then one day exploded at her husband.
And he would have no
idea. And he had no idea.
He thought it was okay.
Yes, exactly. So you know, that's why communicating how you really feel is actually, it's the kinder thing to do.
Yes.
Just doing what somebody else wants and being resentful is not kind.
No. Adam Grant is a Wharton professor. He's also a best-selling author. And he says, being a nice person is about courtesy. You're friendly, polite, agreeable, and accommodating. And when people believe they have to be nice in order to give, they fail to set boundaries. They rarely say no. And they become pushovers, and they let other people walk all over them. And it's true, and it kind of starts with this idea of, and exactly what you were saying, if I'm a nice person, then I just give what everybody else wants.
Yes.
And that is not nice.
Not really.
And if you spend all this time doing what other people want, you're forgetting about, number one,
yes.
me. Like, not so, me. I'm not you. But you're forgetting, like, what about your happiness?
Right.
And when does that come into play?
Right. And you're responsible for you. If you're not going to take care of yourself, who is going to?
So do you have a lot of clients that are struggling with boundaries?
I would say most of them. I think it's a really difficult topic for everyone. I know in my life it's been a difficult thing to figure out what works for me and what doesn't and be able to say that. But it is really important. And the relationships that I can communicate my boundaries in are my best relationships.
That's fantastic. I think you have said before that at the core of all of it, it's people caring maybe too much about what other people think.
I find that's the core of every problem that I work with and with clients.
So you can't really manage that. You can't manage what
Not
other people think
at
of you.
All.
You can't, and as Sari said, you can't manage their reactions. So what do you do in that case?
Well, I think you want to care most about what you think. What you think of you. I think that's the most important relationship that you're having all the time. And then you want to, you know, practice kindness and do the things that feel right to you. But not everybody is going to like you. And that's something that we just have to make peace with.
Yeah. So what can we expect on the next episode of On the Verge Radio?
I am very excited. So our December episode, which is going to be on a regular schedule, second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Fantastic.
And we are going to be talking about, on December 13th, setting your intentions for the new year. So we're going to get really clear about what we want to create in 2018.
Exactly. And the December 13th, it's right before the new moon. It's right before the winter solstice. Mm-hmm. It's right before the new year. So it's perfect timing on that episode.
Yes.
Yes.
To set intentions for what you want to create.
So, again, we're almost out of time here. Can you remind us how listeners can get in touch with you and find out if they want to work with you at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching?
So we are at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy on Facebook, Instagram, Google+, YouTube, and
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Yep.
That's right. And we are at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. You can check out our website or just give us a call at 206-765-8265.
Complimentary 30-minute consultation.
Yes.
Listen to archives of the show at ontheverge.radio.com. Send any of your questions and comments to questions@ontheverge.radio.com.
And we would love to get some questions.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. We are very much looking forward to another episode of On the Verge Radio, December 13th, 11 a.m. here on Transformation Talk Radio, where Laura Richer is helping listeners and their clients, helping listeners and clients use their breakdowns for a breakthrough. So go out, have a fantastic holiday, be a boundaries badass. See you next month.
You've been listening to On the Verge Radio, using your breakdown for a breakthrough with Coach Laura Richer. We all have that moment in life when we are on the verge of big change. This time of transition is a wild and unknown place. How will you show up? Embrace the positive, drop the negative, and you can experience total transformation. Schedule a breakthrough session with Laura at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. Laura will help you discover the path to creating rapid and positive changes. Tune in every month for On the Verge Radio with Laura Richer.